So what I'm interested in is in verse number one mostly, and if you had a title today, it would be In the Shadow of Thy Wings. David here is, he's running for his life. And he's there. If you look at the little thing at the beginning, it talks about how he fled from Saul. He's in the cave. Most people would think this is where 1 Samuel chapter 24, if you know about the Bible stories, how he cut off a portion of his robe and then he revealed himself. But David's being hunted like an animal. I mean, David is being mistreated. He is running for his life. He's hiding in ravines. He's stuck in a cave. It talks about in 1 Samuel chapter 24 how Saul had taken 3,000 of the best soldiers, and they're hunting David like he's an animal. They want to kill him. He wants to destroy him. And David, but when you read this psalm, for me, it helps me a couple different ways, and I'm hoping it'll be a help to you. David doesn't let that destroy his life. Sometimes I think what we do is we focus sometimes on the what you would call the negative things. Sometimes you focus on the people that are causing you problems instead of focusing on those that are trying to be a blessing to you. It's much easier to focus on those that are trying to cause you issues, and they may say bad things about you. They may say lies about you. But most of the time, it's like there's a huge number of people that are supportive to you. And once again, I'm not saying we should not listen to critics. There's something that you should do with critics. When someone says something to me, I will take it and I'll think about it a little bit, pray about it. If it's something that's applicable to me, I'll make a change. If it's not, then I will just dismiss it. But many times with David here, he could sit here and he could be complaining. He could let this destroy him. He could let this overwhelm him, but he doesn't. And he says here in verse number one, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." So he's saying here, I have taken myself and I have placed myself in the shadow of the Lord's wings, the shadow of God's wings. And he says, this is a place that's going to keep me safe. So today I'd like to think about this a little bit. Where do you seek refuge? Where do you seek refuge? And number two, who are those that are trying to harm you in your life? And where do you put them at in your life? Because sometimes I know it's a challenge, because those who are harming you, you feel like, hey, I got to keep my eye on them. I got to focus on them. I got to make sure I keep them at arm's length. But if we take our focus off of God, you know what happens? This world becomes a lot more miserable. But when we keep our focus on eternity and keep our focus on the Lord, boy, it's a much joyous world. Let's look here in Psalms chapter 57. I think we're just going to read the entire psalm, and then we're going to start coming back with commentary and application. It says, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up." Now listen to the description here of the enemies. "From the reproach that would swallow me up." And that Saul would have swallowed David up if he could have. Selah. And he says, "God shall send forth his mercy and his truth." Now listen to how he describes it. "My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongues a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves." Selah. And then verse number seven, he says, despite all the things that are happening, in verse number five, you see a transition. He's taking his eyes off his enemies, putting them on the Lord. And he's saying, verse number seven, "My heart is fixed." This is where I'm focused at. This is where I'm saying, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praises. Awake, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help this morning. Lord, I pray that, Lord, all we're interested in is hearing from you. Lord, I know nobody needs to hear from me. No one wants to hear from me. Lord, we want to hear from your word. And Lord, as we look at this and we understand some truths that are here, help us to find comfort, but not only just comfort, help us to be fixed and the spot of where you can keep us safe. Lord, help us not to be running to and fro, but instead help us to find that safety, that refuge, that place of assurance, that place of help near your protection, under the wings of your protection. Lord, I know that many of us face enemies. Unfortunately, sometimes the enemies take different lights than we ever thought they would. But Lord, help us to see how David is fixed upon you, not fixed upon the enemy. Lord, help us see, help us understand. Lord, we love you. Lord, give us something wonderful out of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want you to think about is as you look there and you read it in verses 3 and 4 especially, it talks about the enemy. The enemy is symbolized as a lion here. As a lion. Now, a lion is a very dangerous animal. Some people like to think of it as not dangerous, but one of the most dangerous animals out there. And we feel like it. He says in verse number 3, actually in verse number 4, he says, my soul is among lions. He's saying, I'm living amongst lions. I'm living amongst those that are trying to harm me. I'm living among those that would swallow me up, as it said in verse number 3. So think about the different lions that are found in the Bible or different experiences people had with lions. Samson faced a lion. David, we know, faced a lion from his testimony from Saul. Daniel was in a den of lions. So this is not the first time you see a Bible character referring to a battle with a lion. We even think about in the Messianic Psalm, in Psalms 22, how the enemy is described in verse number 13 of the Lord as a lion. They gaped upon me with their mouths and as ravening and a roaring lion. So there's been time after time throughout Scripture that we see that the enemy is referred to as lions. So what type of lions do you have in your life? What type of people do you have in your life that would swallow you up if they could? If they could completely destroy you, get rid of you. And you see here that you even see here in verse number 4, it says, my soul is among the lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Listen to Nick's description, how many times the enemy will attack. Attacks you with their mouth. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. It gives a picture here that the enemies are how they attack you with their mouths, how they lie about you, and their tongues are as a sharp sword, their teeth are spears. This is how many times the enemy will come after you, how it's described as a lion. And we know the devil was described as a lion in 1 Peter 5:8 when it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. So when you look at this, enemies are real. You're going to have people out there who are going to try to attack you. You're going to have people out there who are going to try to harm you. If you live for the Lord, you're going to suffer persecution, the Bible tells us. So you're going to have people out there. And David teaches us and shows us something that's really important here. He says, it's not just like somebody's trying to harm me. They're trying to swallow me up. I am actually living amongst. And once again, he's being hunted like an animal. He is sitting here in a cave. And the Lord has delivered. And I love this picture. I love the fact that it's written here is because David says, I'm putting Saul in your hands, God. He cut off the portion of the robe. And if we had time, we'd probably get a 1 Samuel 24, and we might have time to do it. But it tells the story. He cuts off the portion of the robe. He could have killed Saul then. But he says, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. And what does he do? He says, I'm going to give this enemy over to you, Lord. He's not worth my time. He's not worth my interest. He's not worth my thought process. He's not worth my faith and my trust. I'm putting my faith and trust in you. And Lord, this is my enemy. And yes, Lord, in my own flesh, I could take care of my enemy right now, but that's not your will. That's not your plan. That's not your way. So because of those things, he's saying, God, here's my enemy. I am giving my enemy over to you. And I am taking myself and I am trusting myself and putting myself in the shadow of thy wings. So we see how the enemies are described here as lions, and how they want to devour him or swallow him up, how they use their mouths and how they use their mouths to harm them. But what should our refuge be? So the enemy symbolizes lion, but what's your enemy really look like? What's your enemy be? It's someone who wants to destroy us, but we're all going to have enemies. Or if you serve the Lord, you're going to have somebody that's out there to get you. You're going to have somebody out there that's going to harm you and have a desire to harm you. But what are you going to do with those enemies? And what are you going to do with those that are trying to harm you or despitefully use you? Are you going to give them your strength? Are you going to give them your time? Are you going to give them your focus? And that's what David says, no. I'm giving them over to the Lord. He said, this is where I find my refuge. Look what it says in verse number 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings, where I will make my refuge. God pictures a hen here as someone who would protect their young. And even then when there's a storm, and I know we've all seen those illustrations before. You said, well, a hen doesn't sound really very good for God. Well, think about an eagle, how an eagle will protect and will guide and will keep its young from harm. But you got to remember, those young must put themselves in the protection of the one that has a stronger wing. Like if there was a hen and the chick was running around, and if they couldn't get the chick to come underneath the protection of the wing, the chick would be then in harm's way. And if we are running around to and fro and we have not placed ourselves underneath the protection of God, God's not going to be able to protect us like he can and like he wants to and like he desires to. And we got to remember this, that what am I doing with my life? Where am I looking for my refuge? Where am I looking for my strength? Those young must trust in the protection that's given. They cannot run from it. And that refuge it talks about here, it says, well, I make my refuge. It's a place of protection. It's a place that we flee to. So when somebody is trying to harm you, when someone is trying to do you wrong, where do you run to? Where do you go? And many times we let our flesh rise up. We let our flesh and say, hey, I can do this in my strength and I can handle this and I can do that. David's like, no. I'm taking Saul, who was the man that was seeking my life. And there's these 3,000 soldiers out there. And he said, I'm not going to take matters in my own hand. Instead, I'm going to cut off a piece of the robe. And he even felt sorry about that. And he goes out and he tries to talk. He tries to reason with Saul. And the amazing thing is you can't reason with some people. There are people out there who are fleshly and you just can't reason with them. Saul, yes, maybe left for a period of time, but what happens? Saul comes back seeking his life again. And sometimes I think we live our lives trying to please people who are our enemies, and we live our lives who have no interest in the sake of the gospel. And I'm not saying we write people off. Obviously, we pray for them. Obviously, we give them scripture. Obviously, we give them, we believe God can work in anyone's life, and we do what we can to be a blessing and be an encouragement to all. I understand all that. But at the same time, do they occupy your mind? Because I know sometimes our enemies do. The Bible talks about the things we should think on in Philippians 4:8. But nowhere do you see those that are speaking lies about you. There does it. What does it say? It tells you to stay away from questions that are not worth your thought process. Vain babblings, things like that. And here, what should our refuge be? It should be in the safety of the Lord. Look what it says in verse number 1. It says at the end, until these calamities be overpassed. That's saying there are calamities, they're going to pass. They're not going to be there forever. No matter what happens in this world, we get to have eternity, and it's going to be wonderful in heaven. But most of the times, our calamities or there's problems, there's people who are seeking to harm us, they are not forever. God puts a time limit on it, and it's something that it overpassed. It means that it's not going to last forever. And sometimes we are like, man, this I don't think I'm ever going to make out of it. I don't see how I'm ever going to succeed. They're always going to be hounding me. They're always going to be harassing me. They're always going to be saying these lies. What should I do? I have to do something to fix it. No, he's saying here in verse number 1, these calamities be overpassed. Did they pass for David? Of course they did. David reigns as king for how many years? God is teaching them. But not only is it, you see that they overpass, that look what it says in verse number 2. I like verse number 2. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. Now, once again, he is saying, I'm crying unto the Lord. I'm giving Saul to you, God. I'm crying unto God. And look how it says it here. He says, God that performeth all things for me. And the wonderful thing is God that does the work. It's God that's able to perform those things. We can't trust in ourselves. We don't know how to do things right. If we look back on our lives and we say, if God would have let me do what I wanted there, boy, that would have been a big mistake. Many times we think about who God allowed us to marry, and we think about those who were the ones that got away. And most times we're thinking, boy, I'm thankful I didn't end up marrying that person. Look how they turned out. God knows exactly what he's doing. And he's the one, it says here, is God that performs it. If we would remember that, we can put ourselves and we can trust ourselves in the shadow of his wings, because even though there are lions out there that are attacking us, it is the shadow of his wings that we can find refuge, because these storms will not last forever. And not only will these storms not last forever, they will also be something that God is working. If you step yourself outside of God's will, you're limiting what God is going to be willing to do in your life. But if we allow God to do his perfect work, that performance all things for me. Verse number 4 gives that picture of those enemies attacking with their mouths. The enemies attack with their lies, attack by saying foolish things. But the psalm does not end there. It doesn't end at verse number 4 where it's all about the negative things. Instead, verse number 5, it begins a transition. It goes from, it begins instead of looking and focusing on the lions and focusing on the enemies, he focuses attention on God. Because in God, our enemies don't look so strong. And in God, when we read what the scripture says, the things that are happening to us, yes, they will overwhelm us if we let them. But if they don't, if we focus on him and the fact that he's in control and that he can handle all things, if we fix our hearts on him, things look so much different. Look, it says in verse number 5, he says, "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." He begins to praise him. In verse number 6, he goes back, "They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me in the midst whereof they are fallen themselves." Saying that, look, they've fallen themselves. They've caused themselves problems. Selah. But verse number 7, he says, look, they made a mess, but here is what I want you to focus on. And here's what I want you to see. I want you to understand. The truth is that God, you've taken care of me. And I'm going to fix my heart on you. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Here's the thought is that I'm not going to focus on what Saul's doing. I'm not going to focus on what my enemy's saying. I'm not going to focus on all those things. I'm fixing my heart on the Lord. If you live your whole life on this earth, you're going to live a defeated life. You're going to be overwhelmed. The devil's that roaring lion looking for who can he devour. Definitely. But if you can get your focus off of this life and fix your heart on the Lord, it's going to be a different, very much more glorious life. David learned that victory did not come from concentrating on the lions. He learned that victory did not come from focusing on the negative sayers. He learned that he didn't just have to sit there and listen to the lies and let it run through your heart and run through your mind. Instead, he gave everything over to the Lord, and he was anxious for nothing, careful for nothing. Instead, he gave everything over to the Lord. When you concentrate on the lions, this world will be overwhelming. But when we concentrate on the Lord, boy, everything changes. And we think about the lions, but the Lord's even referred to as a lion, isn't he? In Romans 5:5, it says, "And the elders saith unto me, weep not, because the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." We see here that there's two different lions is there. You got one lion who's a liar, one lion that is an enemy, and then you have one lion who is the Lord. So I want to encourage you today, don't be focused on the lion that is the enemy. Don't be focused on the liars. Don't be focused on the naysayers. Don't be focused on the negative attitudes. Don't be focused on those that are trying to harm you, because there are enemies out there, and there are people who are ugly, and there are people who act ugly, and people who are trying to destroy you, and people who are trying to harm you, and people who are trying to do things that they can to be able to render you useless. But there is a lion of Judah. "Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." That our lion is greater than any other lion. That our lion is someone that we can focus on and he fixes on. In verse number 7, he says, "My heart is fixed." He says, "My heart is fixed, O God." So what is his heart fixed on? What is his heart fixed on? Look what it says. I think it says when he talks about, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed, I will sing and give praise." The first thing I think he's saying that his heart is fixed on is worship. How often do we spend time worshiping the Lord? I tell you that I know when we've gone through the hour with God and we've talked about how praise is such an important key and worship is such an important key of our prayer time, because it puts us in a different atmosphere. It puts us on a different level. If we spend time praising the Lord, saying how great he is and how powerful he is and how holy he is and how righteous he is and how faithful he is, if we take time considering scriptures to say that, when we bring these what we consider huge problems and big problems and say, "I don't know what I'm going to do," it looks completely different in the light that I serve a God that is holy, and I serve a God that is faithful, and I serve a God that will always do what is right, and I serve a God that is all powerful. And I serve a God that expects this from me. And then I bring my requests. I bring my lion before him. He looks like a kitty cat. It's because compared to the Lion of Judah, that enemy has no hope. That enemy has no future. That enemy has no power over me. I must stop letting this destroy my lives and this be my focus of my ministry and this be my focus of how I'm going to live my life based off what other people are saying, what other people are trying to do. Instead, I must focus on the Lion of Judah, who is the one who loves me. And David says, I could be worried about Saul. I could be focused about Saul. I could be saying, God, you're the one that anointed me. God, you're the one. Why do you have me running around these hills? Why do you have me hiding in these caves? Why have you given me this group following after me? Why? And he says, no, that's not what I'm focused on. He says, my heart is fixed. It's fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed. And he says, this is what I will do. I will sing, I will sing and give praise. And it talks about singing to the Lord. We should want to sing to the Lord. When we pull out our songbooks, you're not singing for Brother Jim. You're not singing for me. You're not singing for Mr. Chambers. What are you doing? You're singing unto the Lord. You're worshiping the Lord. Make a joyful noise on the Lord. And he says, not only is he fixed on worship, he talks about how he's disciplined for it. Look what it says in verse number 8. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will wake early. And I know some people probably get up earlier than I do. On Sunday mornings, I feel like I probably get up earlier than anybody else. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. It doesn't matter. We're not trying to compare one to another who does what. Okay, you get up early. Wonderful. Do you praise the Lord? So he's saying that we get up early. Once again, getting up early is a wonderful thing. It gets a good part of your day. I know some people are retired. They don't have to get up early as others. And depends on which day of the week is what time I get up. I understand all that. But if we awake early, wonderful. But you can awake early and do fleshly things. You can wake early and your heart's not fixed on the Lord. And he says, I get up, and what I want to do is I want to praise. And it's a discipline. It's getting up early to spend time with God. It's not making up excuses. It's denying ourselves of these other things. See, we only got 24 hours a day. You prioritize what you want to do. I know lots of people don't mind getting up early for certain things. Oh, yeah, I'm willing to do it. It's he gets up early. And why is he? He's praising the Lord. But look at it continues on. He said, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. Once again, he said, I will sing unto thee among the nations. There is song. David has a song, and it's a praise, and it's a worship to the Lord. And we must learn to praise and worship the Lord through our song. He says, I will praise thee, O Lord. And he says, among the people. His heart is fixed on worshiping the Lord. And because his heart is fixed on worshiping on the Lord, you know what's going to happen? His heart's going to be fixed on witnessing. Because as you worship the Lord, you'll realize you want to tell others about him too. It will be something that naturally comes out. You say, Pastor, it's really, really unnatural for me to talk to somebody about the Lord. Then I would ask you, how's your worship time? Because if you struggle speaking about the Lord to other people, if you struggle speaking to the Lord, especially amongst your church family, amongst other believers, there's probably a reason why. It's because we don't worship him. Because, boy, we get excited about things we love. We love to talk about certain maybe candidates that we like, and we like to talk about maybe teams we like or hobbies that we love. It's because many times we've worshiped at their feet. But if we will tend to spend time worshiping at the Lord's feet, you know what's going to happen? We're going to want to tell other people about him. It's not going to be something we want to hide. It's something that we don't mind telling anybody about. Hey, our children. If we love our children, great. Hey, let me show you a picture. You know, those things are our grandchildren or maybe great-grandchildren. All those different things. We don't have problems talking about other things. But David is saying that it's going to become a natural thing. He says, I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto them, among thee, among the nations. He's saying, I am going to lift my voice because I've taken time, because my heart was fixed. My heart was fixed on worship. And because my heart's fixed on worship, naturally it's going to become the time that I will witness and I will praise you. If his heart was fixed on Saul, do we think he would have wrote any of those praises? Do we think there would have been much time of worship? No, it wouldn't have been, because his heart wasn't on that. His heart was on Saul. But when we begin to think on those things that are pure and those things that are true and those things that are honest, of good report, all those different things in Philippians 4:8. And once again, I'm not going to try to quote it because I probably mess it up and people will think I'm using a different version of the Bible. I don't want anybody to think that. But at the same time, it's what do you have your heart on? I'm guilty of it. There's been times when things have been low and things have been hard. And all I can ever think about is, man, this guy's got to get it right. man, this lady's saying this. I got to fix this. I got to fix that. And my heart becomes saddened. I'm not a witness. I'm more worried about so-and-so doing what's wrong than I am about the great God that can help that so-and-so. He said, well, Pastor, that helps you pray. Maybe, but it doesn't help me pray to a great God that can do all things and leave them. That's what David does. That's why David was able to cut off that rope. That's why that one guy couldn't understand. David, why don't you let me kill him? I'll make sure he doesn't happen. And he says, I won't miss. I'll get it the first time. All those different things. He didn't understand that because his heart was fixed on his captain. His heart was trying to help David. David's like, my heart is fixed on the Lord. And that's why I want to encourage you today. Have your heart fixed on the Lord. Don't have your heart fixed on other people. Definitely don't have your heart fixed on the enemies. Yes, we should definitely be praying. Yes, we should definitely be seeking God. Yes, we should be doing all those things. Of course we should. But at the same time, David shows us a wonderful truth that the Lord helped me with this week. He says, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. I'm not going to be running to, hey, if I change this, maybe that person will get fixed. That's not my God. That's not my job. That's my God's job. And if I spend all my time on how to fix people instead of praising the Lord's one that fixes people. And there are certain people out there that you're never going to make happy. No matter how many things you're willing to give up, no matter how many things you're willing to change, there's some people that are just fleshly and that just don't want to be happy and don't want to serve the Lord, or they don't even know your God. How are they ever going to know? How are you going to let an unsaved person tell you how you should have church? I mean, they went out there and there's that one guy went out and took a survey. Hey, what do you like about church? What do you don't like about church? Hey, are you a Christian? Are you a believer? Who cares about that? Let me let you determine what our church should look like. No, God's the one that does that through his word. And we so many times we let the world dictate who we should talk about. I don't really feel comfortable talking about the Lord because they might not like it. Well, God tells us to go to every creature. And once again, you should be respectful of them, respectful of their space, respectful of their house, all those different things. I understand that. But we've let people, we've let our enemies sometimes form how we think and how we should act. And the reality is our hearts need to be fixed on God. I'm not saying our hearts need to be fixed on ourselves. Hey, I'm right. Forget about what anybody. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying our hearts fixed in the Lord. We spend time praising the Lord. And as we spend time praising in it, my heart's fixed on praising the Lord. I see who he is. I see him high lifted up. When I bring these enemies and when I bring these lions and saying, God, don't you see what they're saying? Don't you see what they're doing? Don't you see how they want to swallow me up? It's the Lion of Judah looks at him and is like, that's nothing compared to me. So today, I don't know where you're at in your spiritual life or where you're at with your enemies. I just know that you're going to have enemies. You're going to have people that really, truly want to harm you. And then you're going to have people that the devil tries to convince you is trying to harm you too. And you're going to have a lot of people out there that, you know, what do you let occupy your time? If you went through the scriptures and you saw, this is what I want you to think on these things. These are the things I want you to meditate on the scriptures day and night. You don't have time to be worried about everything else. There's a world that's lost and dying and is going to hell. And we shouldn't be praying for them. Don't get me wrong. We shouldn't just write them off and say, forget it. But we should leave them in God's hands. They should not be taking up our thought lives. They should not be taking up our concerns. Instead, there's something we should give to the Lord and say, Lord, you're who I want to think about. You're what I want to focus on. And then God will give us ways to, hey, this is how I want you to minister. This is what I want you to say. This is what I want you to do. Because God is the one that can change a person's heart and change a person's life. I think about the great apostle Paul. Before he was Paul, we all know him as Saul, right? And if they were all focused on Saul, you know what would have happened? Maybe Paul would never became. And you think about it, if the Christians weren't out there still serving and still spreading the gospel, if it would have just stopped in Jerusalem and Saul would never had to go to Damascus, would there ever been the conversion? Who knows? I know that's between him and the Lord. But see what God did with that enemy, that persecutor that became a preacher. I mean, that enemy that became an exhorter. I mean, that God can do all things. So don't allow people to stop you from doing what you know you should do. Continue on serving. Continue. Don't let people inside the church house stop you from being kind to one another. Don't let people stop you from worshiping. Don't let people stop you from singing. Don't let people stop you from telling people about the Lord. But sometimes we do that. I can't act that way. This might make so-and-so upset. Well, once again, I'm not talking about being fleshly, but we are living for the Lord. Let's remember that. Let's remember that we're not the, try not to be the enemy too, because I know I've been that before. I've been the person who thought I was right and tried to force my way, and the Lord had to teach me something. So let's make sure that we're close to Him. Let's not be fixed on anybody fixing somebody, but also let's not be fixated on those that are trying to fix you. And instead, find your refuge in the shadow of thy wings. He says, I will protect you. I will take care of you. He tells you not to fear, right? And he says, fear not. He also tells you not to be dismayed, right? Why? He says, for I am thy God. And then he says, I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. He will take care of you. Don't let the things and the people, don't let the enemies or the lions of this world stop you from serving the Lion of Judah. Let's pray.